Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Well, the number of book clubs in the United States is thought to be rising, but it isn't all mellow analysis of literature. These sometimes get interpersonally intense. In an article in the Sunday Style section of the New York Times last Sunday called "Fought Over Any Good Books Lately?", Joanne Kaufman writes about some of the issues that people have with their book clubs, like not liking the books that are chosen by others or having a member who loves the sound of his or her own voice just a little too much. Local book group facilitator Esther Bouchel is sometimes called in to try to fix these problems and was featured in the article. She joins me now to talk about book groups, and of course we'll take your calls. Esther, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Book clubs use facilitators?
Absolutely. And just for every reason that Joan mentioned in her article, there are lots of controversies. The main issue, of course, is what I mentioned in the article, that a book club without a facilitator tends to have an Ayatollah, somebody who takes over, loves to deliver monologues, is the only one who knows what the book group should be reading.
Listeners, call us up with your book club experiences, good, bad, or mixed. Does your book group have a professional facilitator? Do you have an Ayatollah? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post your book club relations stories or questions to our website at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. So in what circumstances usually do book clubs call you in? Are there particular problems that they call you to solve, or are they just looking for somebody to help them have a more meaningful conversation about the books, or what usually precipitates this?
Actually, both of them. Most of the book groups that I facilitate with are book groups that are just starting, and they realize that they're going to need some help, and that they don't want to have Ayatollahs. They don't want to do a lot of the research. They don't want to do a lot of the work, but they want to have meaningful discussions. And I was an English teacher for 40 years, so this was sort of a natural progression from going from the classroom, the high school classroom, to this profession.
Does it usually take a book group of a certain size to call you in?
No, it doesn't take a book group of a certain size. It takes a book group of a certain demography. These are usually, I have co-ed book groups, I have couples book groups, but it's usually women whose children, it's very age-related.
Mm-hmm.
It's women whose children are in middle school and older. When your children are very little, you don't do book groups.
Yeah, you do dinner and dishes.
Yeah, right, and you strain baby food. But anyway, these young women call me. They want direction. They don't have a whole lot of time to sit on the internet and research an author, research what's hot. And they also don't have, it's very interesting to me, these are usually very, very bright women, and they've just sort of forgotten how to analyze a book. They did it in high school. I know that because I taught high school. But they've just sort of gotten out of that habit. And so they like to have a format. And I think that they feel that I also, I'm very good at tapping on my glass and saying, okay, back to the topic.
Mm. But sometimes it's good to digress, right?
Absolutely.
Into how the topic from the book relates to people's personal lives.
Absolutely.
Or maybe there's even a fine line between what is and what isn't a digression.
Right. Absolutely. And just a couple of weeks ago, I was doing The Book Thief with a book group that I never met with before. It was my first time meeting with them. And do you know this book, The Book Thief?
No.
By Marcus Zusak?
I do not.
Oh, well. And it's really almost required reading for all of my book groups. I just have such strong feelings about it. And about 20 minutes before we were over, as I was wrapping it up, one of the young women, whom I really didn't know, just started sobbing. And her friend started comforting her, and then somebody else explained to me that her mother had died 2 weeks before.
Mm.
Well, this book is told from the point of view of death, death personified, capital D. So, yes, sometimes these kinds of things are really important. And also, then it becomes important to have the objective facilitator in there. Monday, I did a book group about Loving Frank by Nancy Horan.
Uh-huh.
And of course, the burning question is, how can a mother abandon her children?
Yeah.
And one of the women was just unusually very quiet, very subdued, didn't say anything. And then finally she said, you know, my sister-in-law did that. She abandoned her children, left them with my brother, and her parents, the grandparents, ended up. So, you know, it's really important that we share, too. I mean, I try not to be pedantic. Probably by nature I am, because I was a teacher for 40 years. But reading and then sharing validates our own reality. It's a great comfort. So that's why I think it's important for a book group facilitator to be there to sort of winnow through what has to be, what can be discussed and what can go off track.
My guest on WNYC is Esther Bushell, who facilitates book groups. Esther, we're going to call you back on another line because there's some kind of ringing in the background, so we're going to get you back up. But let's start taking some of our callers. Lisa,
yes,
in Melbourne, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
I have a fabulous book group, and I've been in it for almost 6 years. And the core group of women, you know, five or six of us have all been there. We've added a person here and there over the years. But I think part of what makes us such a high-functioning book group, and I can't imagine that we would ever hire a facilitator, with all due respect to Esther, is that we really have a wonderful degree of respect for each other, and we make sure everybody gets picks. And certainly we don't always like them, but I think because we've been together so long and we have this shared body of reading that we've all done together, we're comfortable saying, you know, this book reminds me of something we read 3 years ago, and I didn't like that then, I don't like this now, and it's my experience has been just fabulous.
How many people are in your group?
You know, we have about 9 or 10. Not everyone always comes, but we usually have at least 6 or 7 people there.
Lisa, thank you.
Are you all friends?
Well, the interesting
thing, I mean, do you see each other outside of the book group?
I would say that there are pairs of us who maybe see each other or talk by phone,
right,
between,
right,
but most of us do not see each other between book groups. So we see each other every 6 weeks, and we're so happy to see one another.
Right.
It's taken us some time to find the right mix of people and,
yeah,
the right time of how often is enough. But it's really been fabulous, and I think that is part of the key, is that we don't see each other,
right,
at school every day. So we don't get into the minutiae of, you know,
yeah,
here's what my kid did last
so
week.
So you're saying, right, Esther, better if the book groups don't form out of pre-existing friends?
Absolutely. I mean, I think there has to be a thread or a network, something that they have in common, but I certainly don't think that they have to be shopping and going out with each other every day or being best friends. I think the chemistry seems to work much, much better when there aren't good friends in a book group, when they're all people who are sharing a reading experience and all respect each other. Trust is very important in a book group.
Lisa in Greenwich, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I joined a book group when I first moved here about 6 years ago, and it was very nice, and, you know, everybody was very smart and had interesting things to say, and I was an active member of the group. Everybody felt I was funny and added a lot. But I was called after one of our more heated discussions by the head of the group, who asked me to leave because I said the F word twice. So this prissy group couldn't handle me.
Wow.
Are there language guidelines usually, Esther?
No, I've never heard that before. That's interesting.
Or maybe that wasn't the real reason. Maybe that was the excuse.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, they loved me. It was just they were just a very conservative group, and they felt that the added punctuation that I brought was just a little overwhelming.
And they didn't want to give you another try?
You know,
well, why should they give them
another try? I found another group, and we cursed up a storm, and everybody's very happy.
All right, that's great.
Lisa, thank you very much. Well, what are grounds for expulsion generally, Esther?
Well, generally, trying to take over. But that doesn't happen as often when there's a facilitator, and it really doesn't happen when there's a facilitator. Or trying to just sabotage book selections. And then... I've never really asked anybody to drop out of a book group. People have dropped out of my book groups for various reasons. One woman dropped out because she fully expected that she was going to be doing business networking, and that wasn't the purpose at all. And other women drop out with the excuse that they're PTA president, or they have too much to do, or they're involved in too many volunteer activities. And, you know, quite truthfully, I always believe that, yes, this is not the right time for them. The other people in the book group always are questioning of those kinds of excuses.
Robin in Astoria, you're on WNYC. Hi, Robin.
Hi. I have a friend who I met on Facebook who I've never met in person. She's British and lives in Germany. And she decided to start a book group. We haven't had a problem or anything that would indicate a need for a facilitator, but it actually happens that the first book we read was The Book Thief.
Terrific.
Loved it. It was great.
Did everybody love it?
I think so, yeah.
So, Robin, do you have an online book group? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, and there, I just looked at 11 members, but not all of them have been active. We're on our second book now, but you know, one person, as I said, she's British. She lives in Germany. I'm in New York. There's someone in West Virginia, someone in Canada, someone in California, and none of us has ever met each other in person.
Wow. So your exchanges are all via text?
Yes. I mean,
You're writing. You get together at a designated time, and it's live chat.
We give it a month. You know, we have a one-month deadline to read it by, and then she set up a group, if you're familiar with Facebook, on there where we post messages and discuss it.
Right. But, I mean, because with an online group, it could evolve over time, the conversation, or you could set up a time to, you know, all go into live chat.
Right.
And you're going to do, you don't know which it's going to really become, right?
Well, we're not doing live chat. We have a discussion board.
You could all get Skype, and then you wouldn't quite be face-to-face, but then you could have video or audio interactions
with each other. Yeah, there are a bunch of options, but some are less computer savvy than others.
Robin, thank you very much. Do you moderate? I don't know if you'd moderate an online book group, Esther.
No, but there have been times when a person or two people have not been able to actually come to book group, but are sort of available, and we put a speakerphone on the table. And I do that when I have author chats with my book groups. Very often we call an author, put the speakerphone in the middle of the table, and talk to him or her.
Well, here's somebody who does you a lot. Most of the callers are calling, say, come on. I'm in this great book group. It's really homey. I've been in it for years. I love it. We don't need a professional facilitator. We love each other. But Lana in Harlem, I think, has a different, more developed experience. Hi, Lana.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Hi, Lana.
Great. Thank you for taking my call. I've formed a book group back in 1982, and we have 65 members.
Wow.
That I mail to every month. We average about 25 to 30 people every month. We meet 9 months out of the year. We break for the summer. We have covered over 350 titles in that time.
Now, that is a well-developed group at 65 members.
But
is there a point where it gets too big to have a good group?
No. In fact, we've actually invited other groups from time to time, largely because I produced for 10 years, as a special event, I produced something called a silent read-in, where we invited the general public to bring books written by writers of African descent, because that's what we discuss primarily.
Uh-huh.
And we invited the general public to bring their own book. They would sit and read silently for an hour, and then that would be followed by authors that I would have to read from their works. The event was totally free. I would get, on average, 500 people each time I did this for the 10 years that I did it. I did it in Harlem and in Brooklyn.
And you do use moderators?
We use moderators for our book group. For those events, we would invite people to form their own groups. We were not looking to become a national organization, but we would produce guidelines for people to operate their own groups based on the way we operated. And the basic way we operate is that we always have a moderator. We democratically choose the books that we're going to read 3 to 4 months in advance. And I do that based on whoever happens to be present at the meeting. We will put those books on the floor. We vote for those books. Those are the ones I send out by mail. You know, sometimes
what kind of response do you get? How many people respond to your vote?
Whoever's there. So we get at least 25 people who are voting each time we have to vote every 3 or 4
Interesting.
Months.
Wow, that's some story. Lana, I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to get one more person on who has a question. It's Camilla in Creskill. Camilla, you got to do it real quick.
Yes, hi. I'm just wondering, What are some good ways to choose books? I mean, you were just discussing that democratically.
I think one of the best ways to choose a book is to form a subcommittee of your book group to meet at the end of every season, to meet in June, decide how many books and what books each person on that committee will preview during the summer, reconvene in September, and create your list from the recommended books.
Thank you, Camilla. Esther Bushell, who is called in to facilitate book groups, sometimes to fix interpersonal problems, sometimes to just lead the best discussions. What do you charge?
I charge about $25 a person, $30 a person, but I'm paid up front at the beginning of every year.
Per person. So the 65-member group that Lana has, you could make a killing.
Yeah, I could, but I don't have 65, and I really, that's not
Oh, that's per year, not per session, right?
Oh, it's per session, 25.
Oh, per session, 25 per person. Okay.
Per person.
All right. Esther Bushell, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much.
Quoted in Joanne Kaufman's Sunday Styles New York Times article this week, fought over any good books lately? Brian Lehrer on WNYC.